In the beginning, when God created, was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Holy wisdom, holy word.
There are two main events in Old Testament literature. One of them is the Exodus, and the other is the exile. The exile was when the Empire of Babylon invaded the last remaining kingdom of Israel called Judah, conquered it, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took the leaders of Judah and marched them across the desert and resettled them in Babylon. Those people who were taken hostage lived as strangers in a strange land. They had lost everything. They had lost the stuff that gave them identity. They lost their religion. They lost their nation. They lost their land. They were utterly cut off. And they were full of questions about why this happened and how it happened. They believed that their God would defend them against everyone. The common thinking of people in the world, the general world at that time, was that if your nation is conquered by some other nation, it means that their gods were stronger than your gods, and they were obviously stronger than you. So a lot of the people who were taking captives from other nations gave up and gave in, became Babylonians. Why not join the winning team? Why not join the gods that were the strongest? The thing is that the Jewish people who were captive went another way. They chose to resist, which is an amazing choice, given that they had so little, and how easy it would have been to just give up and become Babylonian, and how hard it was to maintain their separate identity inside Babylon. But they made that choice. And then they started figuring out how to do that choice. One of the first things they needed to do was figure out what was going on with the fact that they lost. Was God weaker than the gods of Babylon? Was God not interested in their welfare? What was going on that this had happened to them? And then the good thing is that though they could carry only a few things across the desert as they're being relocated, some people chose to carry the literature, to carry the scrolls upon which sacred writings were put down. This literature then became so much for these people. First of all, they looked at the words of the prophets, and they saw that the prophets had said, look, if you all don't stop ordering your society to take advantage of vulnerable people, if you don't start helping those vulnerable people have a better life, then you're going against the very will of God. And when you go down that path, bad things are going to happen to you. And so they said, oh, okay, so that's what happened. We didn't do the right things, and our world fell apart. So that means that God doesn't hate us, God doesn't abandon us, God isn't weak. It means that we're supposed to learn something here. And so they set about maintaining their identity in this strange land and waiting for the time when God said, okay, I think you've learned enough and you can come back home. The other thing that they did was to take all of this literature and use that as the center of their identity. The stories that they had, the rules, the poems, the sayings, the histories, all of that informed who they were help them with their identity. They clung to the literature, and they wrote extra literature to help them with that. A lot of the literature we have in the Old Testament was literature that was either edited or created during the time of the exile. One of the places where we can see the way that the Jewish people in exile told stories in opposition to their captors is in Genesis. And we can see it really clearly in the creation story that we just read the very first part of. It's a very long reading, and I decided to give Lisa a break. So we just cut it down to the very first one because it sort of sets the pattern. But it's poetry. So it's good to read the whole thing and hear the flow of the poetry. And you all know it. On the first day, God did this, and it was good. And on the second day, God did this, and it was good. Now you think, well, how revolutionary is a story like that? Well, you have to understand the context. Because in Babylon, the creation myth was very different. And that's the story everybody around them was telling themselves about the nature, the ultimate nature of existence. In the Babylonian creation myth, to give you the short version, there were these two primordial beings, very powerful, and they had kids, and which were the gods. And they had all these kids and all these gods, and the gods were running around and getting into things and making messes. And these primordial parents said, you know, I think having kids was a bad idea. I think we should kill them. And so they decided to kill their children, but the kids got word of it and so ambushed one of them, unfortunately the weaker one, the male one, and killed him. Well, the very much stronger one was called Tiamat, and Tiamat is the dragon of chaos. And Tiamat was already going to kill them, but now Tiamat was really angry. And so the gods huddled together in fear and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? She's coming for us. And they had no idea how they were going to save themselves, and full of fear. One of them stepped forward. His name was Marduk. And Marduk said, tell you what, I'll go fight her. I'll fight her. And I'll do my best to kill her. And the other gods said, yay, Marduk, go for it. We're right behind you. Oh, we're going to stay here, but our good thoughts, we're right with you. And then Marduk said, yeah, hang on just a second. If I go and risk my life to kill the dragon of chaos, I'm going to need something from you all. You all are going to have to recognize me as your king. You are going to have to do what I tell you to do from that point on. You are going to have to give up your freedom and independence. It was a very high price to pay, but fearing death, fearing chaos, the gods agreed. And so Marduk went out and fought Tiamat and won, killed Tiamat. And if you haven't heard it from me before, there's a cool connection between Tiamat's death and the death of the shark in Jaws. Ask me later. So he kills Tiamat, and then he becomes the king. The warrior becomes the king. And just as a side note, there were a couple of the gods that had taken Tiamat's side, and they got arrested and thrown in jail. And they complained that the service there in the jail, the food wasn't very good, the service wasn't on time, kept complaining about the jail. And so finally, one of the gods, the jailer god, said, enough of this, took one of them out, killed him, and out of his body made the humanity. Oh, and the other thing about the Tiamat story is that when Marduk killed Tiamat, he ripped her body apart, and part of that he used to make the heavens, and part of it he used to make the earth. So all of creation covered in that story. The heavens, the earth, humanity. And all of it is centered in violence. And all of it is themed as violence as the essential means by which chaos is avoided. And all of it points to those who are most adept at using violence are the ones who should be the leaders. That is the Babylonian creation story, but it is the primary mythology of the domination system in one form or another. We tell similar tales. So when you hear that story, and then you hear this story where creation is very different. There's formless void, God goes in, creates light, creates the earth, and creates the moon, and creates humanity and the animals and all those things. Each day, creating something new and beautiful and calling it good. There's no violence. There's no assertion of domination. God is not a warrior king in this story. God is an artist. The center of existence is creativity. The central emotion isn't fear, it's love. When you put those two stories together, you can see what the Jewish people were doing, telling stories that set them apart and set them at odds with all the people around them. Now you can say, well, you know, that's great, Rich. Thousands of years ago, this thing happened, and I'm glad I know a little bit more about biblical history, but what does it matter? Well, we keep telling the same story over and over again in one form or another. For instance, when I was a kid and learning history, I was told the story of the American Revolution. And you all probably heard a very similar story. Evil British people making people pay taxes and doing other things that was creating chaos in the lives of the Americans. And the Americans said, we're not going to do it anymore. And then the British people started using violence, and the Americans started using violence back. And there was a war, and it had several battles. But in the end, the Americans used superior violence to win out over the English and create a nation and create a nation full of free people. And because we tell our story that way, we have enshrined violence as part of who we are. We have enshrined the use and ownership of weaponry as a primary way of defending freedom. Violence and freedom are locked together in our minds because we tell our story that way. But we could tell it a very different way. It could be the story of how these disparate colonies came together to identify themselves as one nation. That didn't just happen. That took the work of authors and speakers and preachers and politicians and community organizers and protesters, on and on and on. All of this nonviolent work created this thing called the nation of America, of the United States. Long before the army was put into the field to fight the British, there was a community, there was unity that is the real story of our revolution. Now, conservatives will say, yeah, but you had to have the wars. We wouldn't have been free unless we had the wars. So we, you know, it's important to hold on to the guns, because if you don't have guns, you don't have freedom. And to that, I would say, my response is Canada. Canada is an independent nation, free of the British Empire, former colony, and they didn't fight a single war against England or Australia or New Zealand or all these other British colonies that liberated themselves without violence, including India. India struggled mightily to gain their independence, but they did so nonviolently. We tell a different story. We see the world in a different way. This is all important because we're coming up on times of elections. And during elections, we hear a lot of politicians, and we're going to hear a lot because there's more competition in the Republican side. We're going to hear a lot of more from the Republicans, and they compete against each other. And they're going to talk about things that will try to induce fear, to induce fear of impending chaos, and offer themselves up as leaders who will confront the chaos, utilizing some form of violence to prove that, to secure our order and to prove their worthiness as leaders. Now, the violence may not be that they'll pull out a gun and shoot people. It may be that they will take rights away from people, take rights away from people who need public assistance, take rights away from homosexuals, take rights away from women, take rights away from transgendered people, put more people in prison. All these things are violent acts. But we can tell a different story. We can tell a story not of fear and chaos and the requisite need for violence, but for opportunity. Chaos can be something we're afraid of, or it can be an opportunity. Things change. If we give more freedom to people who have had less in the past, then our positions of prominence are going to change. The way we've done things in the past will change, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It may seem a bit chaotic. We may not know what sign to put on a bathroom door. We may not understand what all those LGBTQ letters are for. We may have all sorts of questions or concerns, but those aren't bad things. That's the stuff you can use to create something new, something good. Stories about where we come from are stories about where we're going and the way we're going to get there. Fortunately for us, we have some very good stories. And that's good news.